Get ready. Get comfy for the next Nonprofit Insider Podcast episode.
All right, what's going on, everyone? Welcome into another episode of the Nonprofit Insider Podcast, episode 47. We are rocking and rolling. We're getting close to episode 50, so be sure to follow us on Instagram. Be sure to follow us on TikTok. You all know the deal. You all know the measures. And listen, I had been talking for some time. I'm like, I'm getting more and more into interviews, and I've been connecting with people from all over the U.S., all over the world. We just had two episodes ago with Jenny Mitchell out of Canada. We're traveling now to Minnesota, the land of the Great Lakes. I am here with Denami Maurice Champion. We're going to get into all things about him. Denami, let me just start off with this. How's the day going? How are you feeling this summer?
I am feeling empowered this summer. I am feeling encouraged this summer. And I am also feeling, what's the third adjective? Clarity.
Ooh, I like that.
Those are my three words to describe how I'm feeling going into this summer right now.
Ooh, that's a feeling I think a lot of us would love to have when we talk about clarity. Having a sense of self is definitely something I'm sure contributes to that. And I want to get into who you are, how you ended up where you're at. But I want to start off honestly with talking about Bear Stories, because you are the story director of Bear Stories, which is a storytelling agency helping environmental nonprofits and clean tech companies elevate community and funding through emotive storytelling. You specialize in emotive storytelling, in bridging the gap between apathy and action, elevating empathy, community, donations. You know, you have a great tagline, because we met through LinkedIn. You have a good tagline that really stuck out with me. And you say, and I quote, "I help nonprofits that foster environmental justice, elevate empathy, community, and funding through emotive storytelling." I'm reiterating myself here. How does Bear Stories accomplish successful storytelling with nonprofits? How are you even doing that?
Yeah. Well, how do you define successful storytelling?
Listen, we don't have all day. How do you?
Well, you know, I think that's an interesting point to bring up, you know, because sometimes what folks may consider successful storytelling is, hey, we use this story to raise a whole bunch of money, right? Yes. That's one metric of fundraising. However, I like to think about storytelling as the tool that fosters more trust, that allows, let's say, more engagement, that allows more support, whether it's volunteers, whether it's donations, and more support of more of the board being on board with what it is that you're doing. Because the story that you tell and the stories that you tell are really the bridge that helps connect your nonprofit to your audience. And when done right or successful, then that's where the connection can flow. And from that, a myriad of things. So that's how I'm thinking about successful storytelling. But to answer your question specifically, how we do it at Bear Stories, we tell emotive storytelling through film and videos, and then also through storytelling consulting. So those are the two ways that we help our clients with their storytelling.
Yeah. So when you think about the history of storytelling, I mean, it's one of the great lineages of humans, right? Telling mm-hmm. stories over years and generations and centuries. It's something that definitely sticks with us. And we're going to talk more about storytelling. Mm-hmm. We had to jump off and get that jump off and jump right into the pool here. We're going to talk more about storytelling here in a little bit, but we want to know more about you. How did you get your first start or introduction into the nonprofit space? I know you have a long running connection with that St. Paul, Minneapolis area. You know, did you get your start there? How did it come to be?
Yeah, so I'm originally from Detroit, moved to Minnesota for college. My introduction into the nonprofit sphere and industry was through my AmeriCorps experience. And that experience was really specialized in transforming the nonprofit leadership within the Twin Cities. So what we were specifically doing, we were placed at different nonprofits throughout the cities, and we worked to help build their capacity, like whatever that looked like, and it varies for each organization. And so being at my placed organization, hearing from my cohort about what their nonprofit was doing, and then we all had to create the final project, I really learned a lot. And each Friday, we had different trainings on nonprofit structuring, such as like fundraising, the legalities of structuring a nonprofit. So I learned a lot, and it really opened my eyes to some of the challenges and really the aspirations and the work that nonprofits are doing, especially here in Minnesota, which is a, what I'm going to say is a, what was the word there? I'm looking for.
Take your time. I know how that is. You got to get it right.
It's a controversial statement because on one hand, Minnesota is this very philanthropic state, but is also, but where those funds go to and who those funds support typically are those of white organizations. Gotcha. And white leader. So there's a, what is their word I'm looking for?
It's going to come to you.
It is. It is going to come to me. There's a, there's a divide, I would say that. There's a divide. Ooh. or there's a discrepancy in how those funds get placed, especially for Black and Brown organizations, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, it's funny. I've never been to Minnesota myself. I've never been in that upper Midwest. I haven't been in that area. You often hear Minnesota is ranked with Utah as one of the big volunteer states. Like it's known as a state where a lot of people volunteer. But honestly, this is my first time hearing about some of the different aspects of the way money flows. And we know in the nonprofit space, money is a translation of power, a translation of influence, and all of the things that kind of come into it. And I'm curious to learn actually a little bit more about your AmeriCorps time, because I can imagine, like you said, if that was your first introduction, you probably learned a lot of different aspects in a rather quick way that's continued to teach you as it relates to the different aspects of the nonprofit world. You know, I was an AmeriCorps myself. And mm-hmm. We have some listeners I know that were in AmeriCorps. How did you describe your experience in the AmeriCorps? Did you do one term? Did you do two? Give us a little bit deeper insights into that.
Yeah, so the program I was a part of was called Public Allies. And as I mentioned, it was really focused on nonprofit leadership. One of the things that really stuck with me through my term, which was 1 year, was everyone leads, but not at the same time. So that was what was instilled in our AmeriCorps program. And it was 10 months. Like I said, Monday through Thursday, we were placed at our organization. On Friday, we all came together, the cohort, maybe 20 to 30 people. We came together. And we would just learn about various nonprofit topics. So during the week, we're out doing the work at our nonprofit that we're placed at. And then on Fridays, we're continuing that education with learning and learning together.
If you had to rank it on a 1 to 10 scale, just because I'm curious. There's a really good podcast by Nikki Fiacco. She is called the AmeriCorps Alumni Connection, and you would be great on that podcast. I mean, your backdrop for sure. She's based out of Maryland, and she's had a bunch, as you imagine, a bunch of AmeriCorps people on. If you had to rank it 1 to 10, how was that experience for you?
For me, pretty high, a 9 or 10. You know, that's me just being generous with that number, but it is high because being in AmeriCorps, specifically, like I said, that program, it really opened my eyes to a lot of new concepts that I was not familiar with at all. And not only did I learn professionally, I also learned personally. Like, it was that program that allowed me to become aware of myself that, hey, I recognize everyone else in the room is being quiet. So I'm going to say the thing that I know everyone else is thinking about, but they're not saying it. And so I started to step up in a lot of ways, and people will encourage me and say, wow, Denami, thank you for bringing that to the table. So through my AmeriCorps experience, I partially gained my voice and understood how to lead, and saw it was the beginnings of me learning what I bring uniquely to the table that others don't.
See, we need to get AmeriCorps up here to be some sponsors for you and I. I mean, those are some. I mean, the step into your voice. I mean, aspects of leadership and all the things that kind of come with it. Yeah, they need to throw us a check. Oh, wow, that's because they do not pay it. Let's be honest, they do not pay enough. Get those little measly checks when you're like in your early 20s.
Mm-mm. You for sure at poverty or below poverty line for sure.
I want to stay on your background a little bit. I don't want to see your background leading up to now, because specifically in the music space, because I'm looking here, it looks like you might have a guitar in the background kind of hanging on your wall. Listen, I know you got a deep connection to music and a lot of background here. Tell us more about your connection to music and how it's impacted you and the work you do leading up to today.
Wow.
Take your time on this one.
There's many reasons why I'm here doing what I'm doing today. But part of the pathway was music. I started writing music in 1997 after being inspired by Puffy and Biggie driving backwards in a car, and I was like, yeah, I want to rap. And that desire, that pursuit of creating music led me to leave Detroit, to move to a whole state where I knew no one, to attend a music college. Music then opened a door to graphic design, which I started to storytell there, which then opened up the door to film and video production, which I storytell there, and this is where I primarily storytell today. So when I look at my areas of creative expertise, music, design, film, and video, the through line between all of them is storytelling. And so in every facet of the work that I've done, I've always been telling stories. Now I just tell stories for organizations that help them better present themselves to their audience.
I want to halfway through here, tell people, we've got more questions. So folks, stick around. Mm-hmm. I am here with Denami Maurice Champion, part of the story director, apologies there, Bear Stories. Tell people, how can people learn more about you, Bear Stories? We'll get into the questions, but how can people find you and all that jazz?
It's simple. You can visit our website, bearstories.com. That's B-A-I-R stories.com. We're also on LinkedIn. Search us up using Bear Stories, or you can find me directly on LinkedIn, Denami Maurice Champion. And those are the two places. And one key part that I want to make sure your listeners know about, especially the nonprofits who are looking to advance their storytelling, is that we have a free storytelling emotive guide to help nonprofits tell stories in an engaging, emotive way. And so that's available for free. Just put in your name. We send you the download link. So that's available to your audience. And I'm sure you'll hook it up with the show notes and all that.
You already know. We're putting bearstories.com in the show notes. We're going to put a link. I'm going to get that from you, Danami. We're going to put that link right in the show notes so you can go straight to it. You said it's free. That's basically like gold for nonprofits. But we know there's opportunities for people to work with you at the next level. We'll talk a little bit more about that. I'm really excited here. And it's funny because it's a perfect time, because earlier you said that a lot of what you're doing is video and audio, really kind of bringing it to the masses, if you will. And you're obviously part of a movie. And I'm not even Belonging is the name of the movie. Tell us a little bit more about that. I know it's on the Water Bear Network. Bring it together for us. Take your time on that. You've got the floor on this one.
Last year, 2023, one of our clients approached us to tell a longer form story about the work that they're doing at North Hennepin Community College. So Anna Moreau reached out and said, hey, I teach this class, and it's an environmental justice class. We take students out into nature for 5 days, and we want you to tell a story about it. So we did that. Found this awesome person, DeLorean, who we centered the story. We like to call our key characters the heart of the story, because they are the individuals that is the conduit for the audience to feel, live the story through. So DeLorean is our heart of the story, and we just traveled with DeLorean over these 5 days, and seeing him interact with students, and seeing black and brown students in nature, and what that did for them emotionally, spiritually, socially. And then ultimately the film just asked the questions, do you belong in nature? Do you, as a black and brown person, feel you belong in nature?
Let me tell you something. You know how to sell it. Because, I mean, I'm sitting here like, I need to know more about this. Is it, you said, hold on. Oh, my goodness. You said this is, you had the idea, correct me if I'm wrong, from a teacher at a community college named Anna Moreau. Can you tell us that one more time here?
Yeah. So Anna Moreau reached out to us, and Anna Moreau created this, not only this class, but it's now an accredited actual degree for environmental justice. And she wanted to document, tell this story of just the work that she's doing. And it was our work on the Bear Story side and figuring out what that story would look like, figuring out what's the angle of the story. And obviously when we work with clients, every project we start off with identifying the North Star, like, and those are usually keywords that describe who was the audience of this film? How do we want them to feel? What's most inspiring about the story? So we gathered all these different keywords, and that led us on this journey to telling a story about and answering the question, you know, do you belong here? And especially for black and brown people who are often and have historically been excluded from the outdoors. You know, I like to say that the outdoors is green, but it often looks white. And so telling this story about belonging was to show people, hey, look at these young adults here. Do you think they belong in nature? Hear it from themselves. Look how they enjoy it, just like you enjoy it. And I think we told a beautiful film, so much that the Water Bearer Network wanted it for their platform.
All right, we're going to get back to Denami here in a second because he is really dropping some gems. Are you liking the podcast? Are you liking it? Yeah, pretty good episode, am I right? And we've got more interviews coming up in the future of the Nonprofit Insider Podcast. But listen, I need you to do me a favor. I know, I need you to do me a favor. You're not paying for the podcast. It's completely free. We're dropping some great gems, a lot of great pieces of knowledge. And here's what I need you to do in return. Go in and rate the podcast. Listen, you got your phone right now. Maybe you're driving. Maybe you're doing dishes. You know, you don't need to do it right now. But if you are free right now, I need you to go in and rate the podcast, especially if you have Apple and you do it on the Apple podcast. Go in, not only give me 5 stars, because we want 5 stars, but write a review. Write what you like about the podcast. Share your nonprofit horror story. Be sure to rate and review what we have going on. You can always subscribe to us on Instagram and Twitter, but what I really want is some more ratings. So go in, rate the podcast. Now let's get back to what Denami is saying. I love it. I've been recently getting outdoors a little myself. You and I were talking before we hopped on the call here, and I said, my son, he's doing a camping trip with his school in 2 weeks. I've only done outdoor camping like overnight one time. I've done some hiking. I've been getting into biking and things like that. But like we said, where the outdoor is green, but it can often feel white. And it's funny because I'm looking at demographics, because in New Mexico, and I didn't look up all the demographics. I specifically looked at the percentage of Black or people identifying as Black or African-American. In New Mexico, I know it's small. It used to be 4%. It's down to 2.3%. And I'm looking here at Minnesota, 7% of the population identifies as that, which is, I can imagine, is a little ironic, because Minnesota is known beautiful. Again, I've never been, but a beautiful state. Lots of water, access to amazing green spaces. And I already know there are a lot of people that have been disenfranchised and not a part of the amazing outdoor space. So belonging on the Water Bearer Network, that's how people can find it. We're going to put that in the show notes, aren't we?
Yeah, we can put that in the show notes. It's also on our website. So if you go to bearstories.com/belonging, is there too, and you can also read about all the details that went into making that film, why we approached it the way that we approached it, and that's available to view on our website.
I love stuff like that, and getting more and more into storytelling. This is really good, and it's funny because when a lot of people think of the nonprofit space, I think a lot of people think of storytelling, right? It's a way for nonprofits to share their mission and insights. But it's almost ironic because I think in the nonprofit space, when you're in that circle, it often feels like storytelling can take a back seat because you're trying to raise money, you're trying to keep your clients, you're trying to keep your staff members. And so it's almost ironic because in the nonprofit space, it could feel like, gosh, we aren't even thinking about storytelling. There's so many other demands. How important, or to what degree, do nonprofits really need to focus on storytelling? Should we leave it in the backseat? Can we bring it up to the front? How can we, in the nonprofit space, really prioritize storytelling? What are some avenues and tips that we can do in that particular vein?
The way storytelling is talked about is wrong. It's not helpful. Storytelling is often talked about as this additional thing to do.
Yes.
Here's how you can storytell for fundraising. Here's how you can storytell for this and that. When storytelling really is at the core of communications, like storytelling is the marketing. It's not inseparable. Like these two things are one, you know, or storytelling is the method to which, you know, you are communicating, and how you storytell, that may vary. You know, you may do it through audio, you may storytell through written, you may do it through video, and you do it every single day. All right. What's your logo and identity, your name? Like all of these things, your website, your social media, like everything, every touch point is an opportunity to tell your story. And you are communicating to your audience through these things. Here's the challenge. You mentioned nonprofits are doing a lot of different things. They have a lot of things on their plate. I believe that nonprofits are storytelling. They're just not intentionally storytelling. They're not intentionally thinking about, not all of them, so let me say some.
Mm-hmm.
Some nonprofits are not intentionally thinking about how does our brand colors reflect the values that we're trying to live out. Speaking of values, what are the stories we need to tell so that we can attract like-minded supporters with those who care about those same values? So it's almost like reverse. It's not thinking about storytelling as a reactionary thing of like, oh, what can we do now to storytell? It's flipping it upside down and thinking from the mission standpoint, okay, now how can we storytell that fulfills this mission?
Ooh, this is, you've got so many good quotables. I almost need to be listening to you almost on a delay, because you're saying so many things that if you are a nonprofit leader, you're listening to this episode right now here with Denami Maurice Champion, and you're listening to what he's saying. Doesn't it make sense? Like nothing he's saying is like, oh, that's a new concept or idea. You're really elevating it and bringing it to the top of the thought pattern for us, because everything you're saying, I'm like, you're right. We really are telling a story through everything that we're doing.
Everything. Storytelling is not a secondary additional thing. It is the fundamental thing that we already do. And you mentioned this earlier about, you know, we've been storytelling as humans for centuries. You know, like if we apply that same sentiment, that same logic, then it's fair to say that storytelling is at the core of us just simply communicating who we are, what we do, and the impact that we have.
Boy, oh boy, I love what you're saying. You've got The Belonging, the movie on the Waterbed Network. We've got the information in the show notes. Be sure to check it out. We're going to talk a little bit more about how people can work with you, connect with you, because we know we have some nonprofits out there that they want to go a step further. I think when looking and working with storytelling and different avenues you all do, it's going to be a really good one, especially if you're in the environmental space. I'm working of doing an interview with a person. I'm not going to mention too much, but she's based out of North Carolina and works with a conservation organization. Mm-hmm. She's a development director. This is the type of work that you all are doing. That'd be a great bridge. Can you provide us, I know we've got the movie, but can you provide us another successful example of a nonprofit organization benefiting from storytelling in your time?
Yes. I have one, obviously, because the clients that we work with. But I also want to, I think this conversation that we're having for me, what's coming up is like, I want to break this idea of successful storytelling. Because to me, successful storytelling is just successful communications. You know, once again, not trying to create these two different things, but merge what's already there. And so, one example is our client environmental initiative. We were initially hired to storytell for their, let me be more specific, we were initially hired to create video stories of their award winners that they will highlight at their annual awards event.
Nice, nice. Love it.
We've worked with them over the past 3 years, told 16 or so stories of these different individuals and different projects throughout the state of Minnesota. One of our clients have said, and I quote, I'm gonna pull up the card. See, this is card. I still have their card that they wrote in appreciation. They said, not only is the work you all do the most amazing, impactful videos, but you all are also kind, thoughtful, funny, and insightful. But you have helped us transform the award ceremony slash program into what it is meant to be. End quote from Rachel at Environmental Initiative. Shout out to you, Rachel. So our work with them has not only transformed what they wanted the awards to be. They wanted the awards to be this multi-racial, multi-ethnic group of people coming together, feeling inspired by others. And now they have the stories, the elevated stories to be able to inspire this room. And not only inspire the room, but inspire some donors who have said, hey, I'm actually going to double my pledge this year. That has happened. So that's one example of a successful organization who is using storytelling.
And that's, you know, honestly, that's a great way, right? There's so many nonprofits that are working with so many great volunteers, and to know that you're working with the environmental initiative, if I remember right, working with them to honor their award winners and really further tell the story of that organization. Dang, that sounds pretty darn good.
It is, man. I think they're doing good work, and there's many other nonprofits. And to be honest, I'm becoming more exposed to other nonprofits who are doing great storytelling work, through avenues like this podcast. It exposes me to other nonprofits that are doing great storytelling work. So thank you for all that you do.
Oh, absolutely. And we have some executive directors that are listening to this. We have some operation managers, some volunteer managers. This is the type of connection we're trying to do here at the Nonprofit Insider Podcast, here with Dhanami Maurice Champion. And I know you have some encouraging words. I want to get to those encouraging words here in a second, Dhanami. How can people connect with you? We've been talking last 40 minutes, 45 minutes or so, something to that attune. How can people connect with you? How can people work with Bear Stories? Because I think there are a lot of people that are like, honestly, they're like, shit, this is what I need to be doing. I need to be working with you all and sharing and having you all come in and help. How can people connect with you and Bear Stories?
There are several ways that you, and I'm speaking directly to you who are listening to us speak right now. there's different ways that you can work with Bear Stories. So one, the simplest level is we have several articles in addition to the free guide that I mentioned available on our website that provides a lot of these storytelling insights, storytelling tips, storytelling hacks that will help you in your current position as a communication director or manager or even a development officer role. So those are available. You can get your DIY on, do it yourself. You know, this is for individuals who have maybe more time than they have cash, right? But if you're looking a step further, you're like, hey, we don't have the time to do this. We have some funding. Then, hey, let's schedule a call and see if we're a right fit to be able to storytell, because we have our requirements of the type of individuals we work with. You know, like one of those is we won't be a good fit if you prefer stats and facts over emotional storytelling.
It's not going to be all data here.
We don't focus and rely on the data, because we know most humans use both aspects, both parts of their brain, the rational thinking and the limbic system, the one that's responsible for the feelings. So we tap into the feelings. We move the heart. We touch the heart so we can move the mind. So those are the two ways that you can engage. You can engage with us through our resources that are available for free. Or if you're ready to actually get more hands-on and hire us to tell your story, then we're here. Let's just schedule a consultation.
I freaking love it. And yes, we know we've got a lot of nonprofits that are part of the fiscal year. So as we kind of get a couple of days into July, you all might have a line item, $3,000, $5,000, however that amount may be. You may have a line item. And you don't have to be an executive director. I want to emphasize that. If you got some cash and you're thinking, gosh, I want to expand myself, connect with Bear Stories, connect with Denami Maurice. They'd love to be able to work with you. Information is in the show notes. I'm honestly pumped. You've given me some good insights, and you've taken me into a different space of the different ways nonprofits, specifically those in the environmental space, can really elevate themselves. And before we get out here, I know you've got some encouraging words. You've been around the block. You've connected with organizations. What do you want to tell our audience before we step out of here?
Yeah. The one thing that, or maybe a couple of things, but let me say it like this. What I want to encourage you listening is there's a lot on your plate as a nonprofit leader. Statistics show that donations are dwindling. And so there's this work, this effort to get more cash in the door so that you can continue doing the good work that you're doing. So we know that your hands are full. And I just want to encourage you to not think about storytelling as this additional thing, because I don't want to add more on your plate. I just want you to think about how are you already telling your story? How are you already communicating? And is there a way that you can tweak, fine tune what you're doing? You know, take the baby step forward that would then further set you all up for success. That's it.
Denami Maurice Champion. Sometimes I remember growing up in the 90s, and we used to go to Country Buffet. That'd just be a smorgasbord of food, no filling. You just eat everything, and you honestly, let's be honest, unless you were a kid, you don't know what you're getting. This, what you just experienced here on the Nonprofit Insider Podcast, episode 47, was a full meal, a good, this isn't Country Buffet meal. This is a high quality meal you all just devoured. Amazing stuff, bear stories, information in the show notes. Danami, this is great. I'm so glad I met you. I think we are going to be connected for many years. One more, before you get out of here, I know you've got a couple of things going on the rest of this year. I think I saw you're going to the Minnesota Volunteer Council. Anything you've got going on over the rest of 2024 you want to share before we get out of here one more time?
The rest of 2024. So on the personal level, the clarity piece that I mentioned at the beginning of our conversation comes from focusing on my daughter this summer.
Ooh, yes.
The clarity is not trying to keep myself busy in bear stories and focus on her. So that is something I'm working on, and I'm looking forward to the projects that we have, even as a father and daughter. There's this board of projects that we want to do and have fun together. So that's personally. Professionally, you brought up the conference. So later this year, early fall, I will be speaking at, hold on, let me get the name. And I know we're recording this so I can get this together. Hold on, what's the name? All right. Yeah. So professionally, later this fall, I will be speaking at the Minnesota Council of Nonprofits conference that they're doing. I am presenting on emotive storytelling as a breakout session. And hopefully, I'll be able to turn that into another downloadable free resource for other nonprofit leaders so that they can further, once again, enhance what they're already doing through storytelling.
This has been such a pleasure. Again, so much information. You've got us in a good state of mind here as we kind of do the rest of the summer. We appreciate you having on the podcast. You know, you're always welcome back. And once we start dipping into different aspects of media, we're going to have you back on the podcast. Trust me.
Thank you. This is fun. I appreciate your energy. I appreciate you inviting me on and allowing me to share to your audience. And I pray that something that I've said today is helpful and impactful.
I love it. Be sure to check out the show notes. More information about Maurice, about Danami Maurice Champion, about bear stories. I cannot wait to listen to this episode again. We'll see you on the next episode of the Nonprofit Insider Podcast. Be sure to follow us on all the social medias, and you can listen to this on Spotify or podcast. We'll see you on the next episode, everyone. Take care.